follower of Jesus who walks in love can have confidence, can have the assurance of salvation, confidence in prayer, and the reassuring presence of the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Did you know that God wants you and me to walk in confidence, to walk with confident assurance in who He is and what He has done for us, confident assurance of your salvation, of the blessing that you have in Him and in His name, and all that He has done for you, all that He's going to do for you. He wants you and me to pray with confidence. And He wants us to know daily that confident reassurance of His presence in the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants you and me to have confidence. Now, confidence is a good thing, isn't it? Well, most of the time, it's a good thing. It all depends, though. Confidence, generally speaking, is a good thing. Let's say you are going to be taking a trip. You are going to bundle up your family, put them all together in a car, and take a trip, a long trip, all the way across the country. Thousands of miles this trip is. Now, if you were going to do that, you'd want a good vehicle. Let's say, hey, I've got a deal for you. I'm going to loan you this vehicle that you're going to use here. It's this right here. It's a brand new Cadillac Escalade. It only has 5 miles on it. It's all checked out. It's ready to go. It's gassed up. It is yours for the trip. Would you feel confident putting your family in that and going across the country in that? Most of you would. Some of you are saying no because, well, it's too big, right? Yeah, too nice. I mean, what am I going to do to it, right? No, but I think you would feel safe. You would feel secure. You would feel like you have a segura, a place of refuge in that vehicle, wouldn't you? But let's say I said, oh, you know what? I'm sorry that something came up. I'm not able to get that car for you. But don't worry. I've got another vehicle for you. You're going to be okay. So you're going to go off. In fact, here it is right here. All that ready for you there. How many of you are still feeling really confident at this point about this? Still feeling confident about this? Because I was going to say, you know what I like most about it? I don't know why. I just love the tire right there on that. You see how it's starting to go flat right there? So anyway. But of course, in finding the laser pointer, I stepped on the next picture there. You saw it there. But I said, oh, don't worry about it. And it turns out, you're not going to take that car. I got another car for you. It's this one right here then, you see. So you probably are not going to be very confident about taking a trip in that, are you there? But you see, it's a classic, somebody says, right? Well, here's the deal. Confidence is a good thing, right? But you know what? Our confidence is only as good as the object of our confidence, isn't it? Our confidence or our faith is only as good as the object of that confidence and faith. So God wants you and me to walk in confidence, but if the object of our confidence isn't so good, well, what good is that? But here's the good news, folks. We have a great object of our confidence. The object of our confidence is a person. He is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. And there is no better object of confidence or faith for us than God, the sovereign Lord of the universe. So God wants you and me to walk in confidence. And so as we continue our series here in 1 John here, moving on into 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, where there we will see that for the follower of Christ, the follower of Jesus who walks in love can have confidence, can have the assurance of salvation, confidence in prayer, and the reassuring presence of the Holy Spirit. So before we look at our text there in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, a little context here first. As you know, John is writing to counteract the teaching and the influence of false teachers who had infiltrated the church. And these false teachers, they had a twisted view of Christ. They were denying His deity or His humanity or both in one way or another. And they also had a twisted view of salvation, and they were making it all about some secret knowledge one is to attain. And that they were saying then that how one acts, how one behaves, well, that doesn't really matter. In fact, some were even denying the very concept of sin itself. They're saying, as long as you have this secret knowledge, as long as you believe these certain things in your head, well, it doesn't matter how you live. In other words, you can walk in darkness, you can even hate one another, but hey, you're still saved because you have this knowledge here. But John says, no, that's not what it means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John has told us then that if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to impact how we live, isn't it? And we are to walk in light rather than darkness, to walk in love rather than hatred. So he has made this point. We must walk in light and love. And when we're doing that, when we're walking in light and love, we're going to have confidence, the confidence God wants us to have. So let's look then at 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. John says there, by this, that is walking in light and love, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So God wants you and me to walk in confidence, and it's a confidence that comes about as we are walking in light and in love. So when we are walking in light and love, we can have confidence. First of all, we can have a confidence in our salvation, assurance of salvation. You've heard that term before, I'm sure. So this is how we know that we truly belong to the truth. That is, that our faith is real. Genuine, real deal faith is going to show or be expressed in some way in our lives. As John has said here, made very clearly, for the person who claims to know God, who claims to know Christ, but consistently walks in darkness and hatred, is that person truly of the truth? But John would say, no. No. But this is how we can know we are of the truth. This is how we can know we are in right relationship with God, that we belong to the truth, is by walking in light and love. That is, it is our deeds, it is our actions that show whether we truly believe or not. See, again, there were these false teachers, these antichrists, as he refers to them in this letter, who have been teaching that they knew the truth by some sort of special inner insight, even though their lives were models of greed and hatred. All that matters is that you know this up here. And you know what? We have a form of that in our day today, don't we, in the church? The people can sometimes think we call, there are certain doctrinal things you must believe. You must believe, well, that there is a God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is God and man. He came into the world. He gave his life on the cross for our sin. He died for us. He was buried. He rose again. And people will say, oh, yes, I believe that. And, you know, maybe they do believe it in their minds, but there's no evidence of true faith into that, with the result that there is impact or change in that person's life. We see that today, don't we? Where people say, we call it what? Intellectual assent. To say, oh, I believe that. I believe those things. But it really doesn't impact their lives. And that's not biblical faith. That's not biblical trust. That's not truth. To simply acknowledge in our brains, but have no impact anywhere else in our lives, with our wills, how we're living, with our attitudes and our behavior. Now, it's also quite true that being a genuine follower of Christ doesn't mean we're sinlessly perfect, does it? We know that. But to have no impact on a life whatsoever, John says, well, that's not walking, that's not truth at all. That's not being of the truth at all. So he says, so when we see that what we believe is making an impact in our lives, that we are walking in love, well, then we can have assurance that we are of the truth. We can have assurance of our salvation by walking in love. Now, I don't know about you, but I am always looking at my life, asking myself, can I do better? Can anybody here do better than you're doing right now? I can do better. And I know before you look at the person next to you and say, yeah, you could do better, remember that you can do better too, and I can too, right? But you know, sometimes we might look at our lives and we might maybe question a little bit. Am I really of the truth when I look at my life? Because I see sometimes that, you know, I don't always walk in light and love the way I wish I was, the way I want to. And I want you to know that if you feel that way and you stumble a little bit over that and you're wondering, boy, am I even really saved? When I look at the things I think sometimes and some of the things I do, can I really be saved? Can I really be of the truth and think this way or act that way? I want you to know you're in really great company, because the Word of God gives us example after example after example of persons who are no the truth, who are walking in the truth, and yet struggle with the reality of sin in our lives, right? Best example of that, I think, is right before my favorite chapter in Scripture, Romans 8, is what? Romans 7, where we see the Apostle Paul, arguably the most spiritually mature Christian who's ever lived, right? And yet, what is his confession there? In that chapter, man, I don't understand myself. I don't get it. The good that I want to do, I don't do that. The evil that I hate, well, that's what I find myself doing. Keep on doing. How can this be? There's a war within me between I want to do the good and the right. I want to serve God. I want to love God. I want to love people. I want to do those things, but yet so often I find myself doing the opposite of that, falling short again and again and again. So I find this principle that whenever I want to do the good and the right, evil is right there. Can anybody relate? Yeah. Yeah. So he says, though, but so it's not him that is doing this sin, that is the new person in Christ that he is. It's what? It's the expression of the old sinful nature is where that's coming from. And you know what? Until we go to be with him, or he raises these bodies at his coming, the rapture, we're going to struggle with that, aren't we? But he says what? But thanks be to God, there is therefore only a little bit of condemnation for us now in Christ. No, he says what? There is now how much condemnation? None. No condemnation whatsoever for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So God knows, the Scripture makes it plainly clear that being of the truth, having salvation, that is being in a right relationship with God through faith, does not by any means mean that we are sinlessly perfect, that we don't sin sometimes. But the issue is what? Is what do we do about it, right? And what is the direction of our lives overall? That's the question. So he says then, so when we are walking in the light, when we are walking in love, we can have assurance that we are of the truth, assurance of our salvation. But sometimes our hearts are going to condemn us when we look at, oh man, I don't understand myself. Remember Paul, Romans 7 right there, verse 20, what? For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Isn't that one? You know what that's saying? That even though you and I struggle and we wonder and we condemn ourselves for our sin, God knows the truth about your faith. God knows the truth about your heart. God knows the truth about your struggle and my struggle. He knows what we believe. He knows we are of the truth. And He is greater than our heart. So even though our hearts may condemn us sometimes, God doesn't. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we fall short, and we will again and again, God knows our hearts, and He does not condemn us. Isn't that good news? So we can have assurance then. We can rest in His presence then, because God knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows that we believe in Christ. He knows that we are endeavoring to grow in light and love for one another. He knows that we regret falling short. But He also knows the truth about our hearts that we truly believe. And it's God's power that keeps us secure in Him. Remember, I said our confidence is only as good as the object of our confidence. So our confidence is not in our own self-assessment. Our confidence is in God's certain knowledge of who we are and of who we are in Christ and of what He has done for us in Christ. And God never forgets that. And God knows. So we can have confidence before God in our salvation based on His trustworthy character, His trustworthy word, and what He has said. We can have confidence as we see the evidence of Him at work in our lives. And as His Spirit testifies to us, John's going to have a little more to say about that in a moment here. So we can walk in confidence, having assurance of our salvation. We can walk in confidence too, then, having assurance or confidence in prayer. You know, as we look at what the Scriptures teach about prayer, sometimes it makes some, the Bible makes some rather bold statements about prayer, doesn't it? It says what? That if we ask in faith, then we will have what we ask for. And someone said, well, wait a minute. There's been some things I've been praying about a long time, and it's not happening. And so with that, we have to say, well, anytime we look at something in Scripture, we need to understand that in light of the entirety of Scripture, don't we? The entirety of Scriptural teaching. So Scripture says to you and me that we are certainly to pray in faith, right? We can't pray in doubt, saying, well, God, I don't know, if you feel like it, maybe, or maybe you will, maybe you won't, I don't know, but could you kind of maybe do this or that? Or is God pleased by that? No. So we're to pray in faith, that is, in confidence. Again, confidence in His character, in His promises, in His power, right? Pray in faith. But Scripture also talks about how it's important that we need to be walking in obedience to His Word. We cannot be walking in constant disobedience and rebellion against His Word and expect Him to answer our prayer, can we? Now, I'm glad to say sometimes He does anyway. But that shouldn't be the norm, should it? But also then when we pray, we are to pray then in submission to His will. Knowing that ultimately anything we ask with the understanding that we're asking that His ultimate will be done in our lives. And He always knows better than we do, than I do, doesn't He? So pray in faith, walk in obedience to His Word, and be submitted to His will. And when we do this, we can have confidence that He hears our prayer, that He will answer, in a way that is in fulfillment with His will and His purposes and plans. And the result is it's going to be a fruitful prayer life. So we can walk in confidence, having assurance of salvation, but we can also walk then in confidence in prayer. That when we are walking in faith and obedience, He's going to hear and answer those prayers. Now again, it may not be when we want or how we want, but He will answer that. How many of you here can testify to God's answer to prayer in your lives? And I've seen it. And I've seen it too here. So walk in confidence, assurance of salvation, confidence in prayer. And finally then here, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, walk in the confident assurance that God is with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. We must walk then in faith and obedience, in light and love. We will have assurance that we are of the truth. We will have a fruitful prayer life. But then we will know that we have His Spirit. It says verse 23, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us." Verse 24, "Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, what? We know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." You know, toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, that final night of His earthly ministry before the crucifixion, He assured His disciples that He was going to send another one, the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture tells us that when we believe, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that happens to us is that God comes to take up residence within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. And the presence of the Spirit in our lives can give us confidence and assurance then. So I think this is true in a couple of ways. One is that when we believe in Jesus, His Spirit takes up residence within us. Romans 8 speaks of what? That His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So a part of that, it's a little subjective, I know. Okay, but part of our faith is subjective, isn't it? There's objective truth, and then there's sometimes subjective wrestling with that. But one of the things Scripture tells us is that when we believe in Jesus, His Spirit comes to take residence within us, and then His Spirit testifies that we are indeed the children of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? You know that testimony, right? But I think there's another element that's at play here, though. It's not just talking about that inner testimony of the Spirit to us. I think he's speaking of the confidence that comes when we see the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives. When we are walking in faith, in obedience to Him, that He produces in our lives fruit. This fruit is seen in good doctrine, right teaching, doctrinal purity. It's seen in love for one another. It's seen in a spirit and an attitude of obedience. It's seen in a change in our lives when His Spirit produces fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit, that is the effect of the Spirit, the work that He's doing in you and me, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, the first one, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? This is the evidence of God's work in your life and mine. So when we see these things, when we see His work in our lives, we can have confidence that He indeed lives in us, abides in us. These are unmistakable signs of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives then. So God wants you and me to walk in confidence. Confidence of our salvation, who we are in Christ, what we have in Him, confidence in prayer, fruitful prayer life, and then confidence of His Spirit being present with us, seeing it as He works in our lives. So what? What do you want me to do with that? Well, I want to take us back to where I started here. Remind us then that the follower of Jesus who walks in love can have assurance of salvation, confidence in prayer, and the reassuring presence of the Holy Spirit. So I want to conclude by just asking you three questions here. The first one is this one. In whom or in what are you putting your confidence? You want to put your confidence in that junker car to drive across the country? No, you don't. You see, that's a bad object of confidence, isn't it? But even though, you know, here's a difference, though. It's an illustration, but every illustration ultimately breaks down at some point here. We'll put our confidence in that brand new Cadillac Escalade, but you know what? Even brand new cars can have things go wrong with them, right? You know. But you see, here's the thing, though. When we're putting our confidence is only as good as the object of our confidence, right? And when we put our confidence in God, He is the sovereign, almighty Lord of the universe. He never breaks down. Now, you might not like the way He deals with you and me sometimes, but it's not an issue of His character or power, is it? It's an issue of our own understanding and our own limitations, right? Or sometimes when we fail and we try to blame it on God, right? But whom or what are you putting your confidence in life? Are you putting it in the sovereign Lord of the universe, or in yourself, or some other person, or some other thing? See, only God is worthy of our confidence, of our ultimate confidence. So I want to ask you, do you believe God is worthy of your confidence? See, that's part of the walk of faith, of growing in faith, is coming to see that He is indeed worthy of our confidence. How do we come to know that He is worthy of our confidence? Well, I certainly through spending time in His Word and in prayer. But here's the, and I love that part of it. You know what part I don't like? Being taken through trials and tests and dark valleys. I don't like that part of it. Anybody like that? Anybody like trials and dark valleys? But that's where we really learn confidence in Him, isn't it? Finally, then, will you entrust yourself? Will you entrust yourself, your whole life and your being into His hands today? Because He wants you to walk in confidence with Him. The assurance of salvation, a fruitful prayer life, the reassuring presence of the Holy Spirit, knowing that He and He alone is worthy of our ultimate and final confidence. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this reassurance we have from Your Word that, Lord, You are indeed the sovereign Lord of the universe, the only one in all the universe who is worthy of our ultimate confidence. So we thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You for our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would turn away from anything that we are looking to other than You for our confidence and our faith. Thank You that we can have, through walking with You, Lord Jesus Christ, assurance of our salvation. Thank You that we can have the assurance of a fruitful prayer life as we entrust ourselves to You. And thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Holy Spirit, His presence. Thank You for the work that we see Him doing in our lives to change us, to grow us into the image of Jesus. May all of these things, Lord, give us confidence in You, confidence in what You're doing. May we walk in faith, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.